Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of Agents of Mace. We are back to talk more Secret Invasion. We are on episode 4, and it's crazy to think that this season 1 is almost to an end. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty short episode, but I feel like this is more of an impactful episode because, you know, we get a few big moments here. That I guess from my perspective, it does lead into some questions, and there are things that I hope we get answers to in these next two episodes. But I did watch this episode twice because this is very there's moments in this where you're having Fury and another character having some conversations, and I really wanted to like hone into these conversations to try to like really soak in like, you know, what could this be cluing us into or hinting at? But yeah, it's the last act is all action, leading to a pretty big moment. So I thought this was for a short episode, it was a pretty good episode from my perspective on, I guess, my first thoughts.
I felt that this was also a strong episode. It was one that was perhaps overburdened with shocking reveals that we've been expecting for a while. Save for one of them was genuinely pretty surprising. But several of these things we've been talking about like for weeks. Yeah.
Right.
We just got to get to it. But yeah, this one was good. I liked that we got even more insight into Nick Fury's marriage mm-hmm. in this. We got to see some marital discord happening. But also we got to see Nick not only kind of failing as a husband, he's failing as a friend in a lot of ways, which we will get mm-hmm. into.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of this down on your luck type episode. Mm-hmm. But to kick the episode off, you know, this is pretty much the last note that we had in the previous episode is we have a new character. We have Emilia Clarke playing a Skrull, and you know, the climax of the last episode was getting shot, and you know, that was the question of like, is like, why would you end a super, like, she's like an A-list celebrity, like why would you end someone like that so early? But we do get this very quick boom boom boom, like kind of like shots that should have been in the previous episode, that she saw what this machine was doing and quickly went in, and we saw that she was like, I guess, getting knowledge from another human, like one of the human captives. She was kind of like absorbing some yeah. things there, and then basically turned the machine on to make herself a super Skrull. Mm-hmm. So we know that she is alive, and that's kind of like what opens into the episode. We get another moment with her and her father, because a lot of it's just kind of this, you know, who's on the right, who's on the wrong, really, what are these decisions we should be making for our people. But yeah, that was, you know, I think that this is something everyone kind of expected that was coming, like, you know, she's gonna be a super Skrull, like I guess the new question is going to be, how many Super Skrulls will there be?
I'm guessing several. And then probably later we'll find out that there were more than we even thought at the beginning. There have been secret right. Super Skrulls.
Well, yeah, because I think they hinted that there's, what, a million Skrulls on Earth right now?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and who's to say they can't all be super?
Exactly. But that number could be more. You know, it's hard to really, it's one of these shows, you know, like what's true and what's not. Like, is it a million? Could be far less. It could be more. Who knows? But and then we kind of move from this to going into what you just mentioned, is we get these flashback moments with Fury and his wife, as they're kind of, you know, just having a conversation. She's been reading a book of poetry, and we know that this is during the Battle of New York. And they kind of have this touching moment together where she's reading or referencing her favorite poem in the book, which gets brought up later on in this episode. But like you said, I like these moments of like really getting more insight into Fury's life away from the Avengers. I mean, this is one of those moments where he was just starting the Avengers, because, you know, she's referencing this group of heroes in the battle, and she's like, I wonder who put this together. Was it you?
Yeah, it's fun how spouses can pick up on things like that. Mm-hmm. For example, in our house, if all of the E.L. Fudge cookies disappear, we know which one of us did it. It was me. I ate all of them.
Yep, we have those moments as well. Always fun. They're very big. When it comes to Fury and his wife, his wedding ring gets brought up quite often. Mm-hmm. Which I almost want a little more depth around that, because it seems like, and a lot of it, I guess, makes sense. Like he's trying to keep his private life and his work life as separate as possible. So that's why he keeps his ring at home. Mm-hmm. Because he wants to keep that part secret, and that's just for them. But it's it seems like that's a pact that they made, is like, when you're in this house, like, your wedding ring has to be on.
Yeah, it's also a really easy way for them to cover Nick never wearing a wedding ring in any of the movies.
Yeah.
Is that, no, it's just my special at home thing.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it makes kind of sense why he would keep it secret, partly because, you know, he's working with the Skrulls, and that's one of his big jobs that he's been doing through S.H.I.E.L.D. and then whatever else he's been doing since S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, whenever you're somebody in a position like Nick Fury's, you yourself become a target. People around you can become a target. So he wants to keep her safe. I get all that. But other than that, there's not really a purpose of being all secrety about the fact you have a wife.
Yeah. Yeah, because we've only really had this moment with one other Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
Tony's just so open, like, he's not going to care.
Yeah, and like, it was supposed to be kind of like a reveal whenever we found out that Hawkeye was married, but he also wasn't like purposefully keeping it a secret. We just like, this is the first time we had a chance to know. And like, Natasha knew.
Right.
Fury knew.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you bring up some good points there, because like, that's why I wanted to rewatch this moment that we get between Priscilla and Fury, because we in a way get this almost like Mr. and Mrs. Smith style moment with them, because, you know, they're, I guess she's, from her perspective, is, I guess her fear is like, if a Skrull were to intimidate Fury and find out about them, like, would probably want to come in, you know, kill her and kill him. And we essentially get this conversation that ends up being this standoff between the two. And like you said, it's I'm wondering, it's like, is it really to keep her safe? And I'm sure a lot of it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's deep into this area now where it's like, who can he really trust? Because I think he's on that road is a Skrull, and it's just who isn't. how much of this invasion is actually going on, like who has it reached. He knows he's got to distance himself from pretty much everyone. Like there's not really anyone he can trust at this point.
Yeah, she has been very specifically tasked with killing him, which is not helpful when you are married to someone. And so that's part of this Mr. and Mrs. Smith moment, is that they're supposed to be stopping one another, essentially. Right. And then they don't. They both throw away their shots. And then Fury says something like, I don't know if this means that we should renew our vows or get a divorce. And they both kind of just like, you know, chuckle that off. So, excuse me. You both just shot at each other and you both said that you're supposed to be killing each other. It's shaky. It's shaky in the Fury household right now. And this is also where we find out that Priscilla basically took over another lady's life. We knew that she had changed her appearance. But this is where we found out that not only did she do what the Skrulls have been doing all this time and assuming the identity of somebody, she did it for a lady who was on her deathbed who wanted her to, because she was going to die and she wanted somebody to still be there for her family. And so since she could absorb all of her memories and things, she becomes a doctor and slips into that career and marries Nick Fury and all these other things. So that's it feels somehow less shady than when the Skrulls are just like stealing people. But it still feels a little bit weird.
It's there's so much weirdness, especially in this episode. We'll get to a specific moment soon. One of the little Easter eggs in this episode is there's a moment where they're in their home and you see there's a bunch of books. I believe it was behind Fury. And one of the books, which is by Priscilla, was titled Decoding the Superhuman Gene. So kind of like leading that she probably works in biology. Again, it's another little nod to mutants potentially. So, you know, it's curious to see like how far they're how far she's kind of worked into the mutant realm.
And possibly how all of the superfication processes we've seen so far are altering human DNA.
Right.
All really cool. She's definitely a smart lady.
Yep. But this is also the moment where Fury brings up, you know, the phrases from the poem, and you know, they kind of have this last question where, you know, the big thing with like the Skrulls is, you know, they're struggling because they want to be themselves. Like they're hiding as humans and they want to be able to just not do that. And she kind of brings up that as that last moment of like, you know, if I were to just be in my own skin, would you still love me? And he just kind of holds that pause for a while and doesn't really, you know, it's just kind of just leaves it as like, I guess we'll just never know. And just leaves.
That was bad move, Nick. You'd tell your wife you'd love her no matter what.
So the question there is, you know, will we get to see them together again in these last two episodes? Because you know Priscilla's got to know. There's so much that she has to know. Like, I just feel like she's got to be a bigger play down the road. So I'm very curious on that. Especially with like Rhodes, because you know before they had their conversation, Rhodes did meet with Priscilla, which Fury listened to on that conversation. So I could almost guess that Rhodes and Priscilla would meet again. So yeah, I bet you that would happen.
Yeah, a part of this scene that I thought was interesting is that they are meeting in a church. I was like, how is church when you're an alien? Whenever it's like, Jesus died for your sins on earth. Is this just part of their like human cover? Or are they learning? Is this belief? Or is she, is just as part of her playing the part as being Dr. Priscilla Davis? It was Davis, right? I got the last name correct. I think. I
believe so.
Okay, cool. And Nick Fury is listening in on their conversation, which I can't remember if we saw some instance last week where he set it up to where she was bugged or something like that. I couldn't remember if we saw it, but that's clearly what happened.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Drew here from a secret off-base location, coming to you today with my thoughts on episode 4. So first off, Gaia is a Super Skrull. Surprise. And not only that, we learn there are lots of Super Skrulls. Crazy. So I'm excited to see some more of the Super Skrull powers. I know in this episode we finally get to see one, and it's the group power. So I guess we also have been seeing the healing power, but I don't know. That seems... Give me something more, you know? We learned that Rhodey... Surprise. He's a Skrull. We all knew it. We all knew it was happening. So, glad they finally acknowledged it. I wanted to point out that with Rhodey Skrull... Scrody. No, that's bad. Skrull Rhodey. I feel like people would notice, right? Like, and we don't know how long he's been a Skrull or how long she... Well, I don't know. It's very confusing. The Skrull that is Rhodey is a female Skrull. But how long has she been taking his place? And where is he? Rhodey is an all-around pretty nice guy. He's pretty cool. He's pretty relaxed. Kind of go with the flow. But the Rhodey that we get now is like... kind of a jerk, Rhodey. He can't even open his own doors. He makes somebody else open the door for him. So, I don't know. It just seems like people would notice that that's not actually Rhodey and that something's wrong. But, I don't know. I guess not. Also, in the scene where the president gets attacked, does the president just drive around with like an anti-aircraft truck in his brigade? Because that was kind of crazy when that just opened up and started shooting. Also, you would think that there would be better security. Like, helicopters don't just appear out of nowhere, right? Like, surely they would have known these helicopters were closer than they were when they got attacked. I don't know. Also, the whole thing with Gravik and the other guy changing back in... Or they didn't even change. They were in their normal forms, literally... in the middle of all of the, I don't, air quote, good guys, I guess. And nobody noticed. Nobody cared that they were just getting on a motorcycle and driving away. Nobody bothered to help Fury shoot at him. Nobody did anything. Kind of, what is going on? If they could have at least, like, changed into the U.S. soldiers or something, you know what I mean? I don't know. We see Talos die. Everybody in the show is dying. I want to know, you know, we've already seen that the Super Skrull ability can heal people and bring them back. Do we think that at some point they're going to put Talos in the machine and he's going to get his, he's going to get healed and he's going to come back to life? Or do we think this is the end of Talos? I think it's a possibility. You know, we don't really know how the machine works. We don't really know how any of that happens. So it's possible. It's not great. I don't, you know, I'm not in love with the idea of just being able to bring people back whenever convenient, but it is something that could definitely happen.
So pretty much the next big moment that we get is the conversation with Fury and Rhodes. Fury basically breaks into his super fancy hotel room. Like, it's, he's just like, Rhodes is just like living the high life. Just, But we also get this moment where we kind of know that Rhodes is a Skrull.
And showering it up as a Skrull.
Yeah, but... well, it looks like a female.
Maybe. Part of me is like, it's hard to tell. But well, for sure, maybe.
Well, there was just these little, like, it looked like she was I think it's, I want to say it's a female because it looked like she was dancing in the shower, and just the way that she put her towel, like how she wrapped it over her chest.
Mm-hmm. Force of habit.
Which is, and bright blue eyes, like super blue.
Yeah, I remembered that part. But yeah, I didn't catch that it was a lady, but that's... Okay, it's not funny, but it's not funny either.
Right. Well, I would urge everyone to rewatch that moment because the way it just had a very feminine vibe of like moving and how the towel was placed, the smile. So, but the eyes, those bright blue eyes is what I'm focused on, because now I want to go rewatch everything to see like who is the Skrull? Have we seen the Skrull before? And can we, because I think that was some announcements that was made on social earlier this week, is that Rhodey's been a Skrull for some time now. I guess there is some moments where this happened in a past series or movie. So it's kind of like them urging everyone to go back and revisit.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The movies that he's in to try to find out when this would have happened.
Yeah, that's I was just pulling that up where it said that Kevin Feige confirmed mm-hmm. that Rhodey's been a Skrull in other appearances.
Mm-hmm.
My gut tells me Falcon and the Winter Soldier is actually the first one, because that's the first time he's had this like new government job, which would be pretty Skrull-y.
Yeah.
But he also, in that one, he seems more like the same old mm-hmm. Rhodey that we've seen before. But this is a point where he's stressed out and working for Gravik, and mm-hmm. the war is about to begin. So of course things are going to be a little bit different.
And even like in this episode versus episode two, there seems to be a little bit difference in kind of demeanor and just the way he's kind of talking and going about things. But I don't know. Like I'm sure it was still the Skrull in episode two. But Fury basically tries to revisit the same conversation they had and try to kind of reverse things up a bit. And you know, of course, it's over a bottle of whiskey. He brings in a 23-year Pappy Van Winkle, and I love that moment because this is what when I message y'all. I mean the initial like question I was gonna have is like, if he didn't reveal the price, that was gonna be the question, is like who can name the price tag on this bottle. I've had it before. It's fantastic, by the way.
It's like the S tier gift that I want to get for Mason someday, is I want to get a bottle of that Pappy Van Winkle. Listeners, if any of you have access to Pappy Van Winkle's waiting list.
We'd love to be on it.
Well, or if you just want to drop it off in front of our house, we trust you.
we can talk offline. Maybe I can help out. Because I'm in the same. I want the waiting list too. But yeah, I really liked that moment because like Fury was just eating that up, and you know, it's a solid drink. You know, they, you know, of course they did the whole back and forth game of like, well, do I drink this? Is it poison? Like, you know, how can I really trust you? And, you know, finally does take the drink and he's like, okay, you're right. Yeah, this is pretty good. And then just takes the bottle, which that comes back to bite him here in a little bit. But,
The president notices he's a little trashed.
Yeah. But he's basically trying to set up Fury of like, look, we've got this video that shows you shooting her, shooting the other agent, and it's like, you know, there's nothing you can do. Like, we kind of own this and you need to do what we're saying, otherwise we'll release everything. And he's already said that he's made copies, which makes sense. But yeah, it's just like the future moments with with Rhodes are very interesting in this episode because, yeah, pretty much after this is when Rhodes is meeting with the president and the, you know, his task force. And like you just said, the president's just like, yeah, you need to sober up, man. Like, mm-hmm. can smell it on you. Which, what's the actor's name that plays the president?
Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah, I really like him.
Yeah, he's the, what I know him from is he's the love interest in My Best Friend's Wedding. And also the husband in Steel Magnolias, two of the very best movies ever made of all time.
A lot of love interest because I've been...
Specifically to Julia Roberts.
Because he's like a love interest in New Girl.
Oh, that's right. He's Jess's older boyfriend. Yep.
And then I was rewatching Shameless, and he's a love interest of Fiona in that. And then he is also in Mission Impossible, I believe. He was in the new one for a brief appearance. I believe that's correct. Anyway, he's been busy. So it's kind of cool to see him in this as well. But yeah, this is when we get to the action moment. We get this shootout that happens where they're basically trying to get, I guess they're trying to get the president. Like, seems like they're trying to protect the president, and then the Skrulls are there. I don't know if they were wanting to kill the president or capture the president.
It's unclear. I mean, because part of it is that they're trying to start a war, which would indicate kill the president, but also the president is in a position of power, so they could, you know, take over the identity of the president, which would be useful to them. So we can't be sure, but the thing we can be sure about is that this is a poor protection of the president that we see here. Because first of all, there's not supposed to be flying things within the airspace around a presidential motorcade. That's a rule. Mm-hmm. Also, whenever they do finally recover him, it's just Nick Fury walking him over to a different Jeep. That's not very much cover.
Yeah. Yeah, some of those moments did feel a little messy, like...
It takes them a long time to get him out of that car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They basically have to break the window.
Talos has to break the window.
Which Talos does it while after, like, being shot. So he's already basically dying, and he's still trying to help.
I wrote in my notes that Nick should be trying to bust out that window after his friend is shot, but instead Talos is the one who still goes after. I know that Talos is really strong because he's a Skrull, but didn't Fury have a gun?
He has a gun, but you think he would have some sort of gadgets, right?
Yes.
Like, he would have something else in his arsenal to be like, that would basically just shatter the window.
Yeah. You would think that. We've had gadgets all these other things.
Yeah, think of everything, all the nanotech that we've seen through the MCU. Like, surely he would have something. But again, he's kind of been away, so like, he probably doesn't have direct access to a lot of that.
It's true. But also, Tony Stark built the Iron Man suit in a cave with a box of scraps.
That's true. So. I mean, we do get to see a little something new, because he basically uses nanotechnology to, in a liquid form, where he puts a liquid in the drink. That's how he's able to track Rhodes and follow them, which is, it's still pretty cool. But again, like, he would have had more. Like, I'm like, let's go James Bond, like, have a laser on your watch or something.
something.
But even like during all this moment, like, Rhodes just sits in his car.
Yeah,
like, no big deal. It's like he's literally just sitting there, like, twiddling his thumbs, like you know. And that, from Fury's perspective, that's got to scream like, and also tell, it's like, who's actually in control here? Mm-hmm. Is it really Gravik, or is Gravik reporting to Rhodes, or is Rhodes reporting to someone? Like, who's really controlling this invasion?
Maybe they both think that they are.
Possibly. And it could be a group effort. But we also get to see some new abilities. So we basically see that Gravik is Groot.
We see some Groot stuff.
Yeah. Looks like there's a moment where we got, I need to go back and find when exactly this, because it must have been super quick, but it looks like there's a computer screen that I think showcases like the abilities that the Super Skrulls get. Because it has Groot on the list, and then it's got Frost Beast, and then Cole Obsidian, and that's, I think that's all we see. And we know that we've already seen, like, you know, how they heal themselves. So there's probably going to be a couple more abilities that we'll see before the series ends.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out the healing one, where that comes from.
That was from Iron Man 3. That the Extremis.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
That's what that comes from.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know, like, we've mentioned this before, because the Super Scroll were supposed to basically be copies of, like, the Fantastic Four, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, instead of fire, it's almost like using the fire to heal yourselves. And then, so Mr., you know, the stretching, this, it's kind of Groot. So I'm very curious to see, you know, will there be invisibility at all, or what else?
Rock powers.
I'm guessing that's going to be some form of, like, the Frost Beast is, like, turning yourselves into, like, solid ice blocks or something. I don't know.
Right, and if we've still got Skrulls around at the same time that we finally get the Fantastic Four, they can always remix that formula. Be like, hey, y'all notice that these four things have got way cooler stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe more convenient stuff. Throw in some more powers.
Yeah, so that's kind of how this episode ends, is it's the fight's going on, and Fury's got the president, and she's like, what's going to happen these last two episodes? Because we know that they're trying to start this war going on. But at the same time, I'm like, what's going to happen between the Skrulls? Because it almost feels like there could be this set of, like, you basically have, like, the good guy Skrulls, the bad guy Skrulls, and then you also have the humans. And is this going to lead into this massive war between all three parties? Or there could be more parties. Who knows?
And we also see here, the thing that surprised me the most is that it looks like, and this is another case where I'm not positive that this is what's actually happening, it looks like Talos might be dead. What's even more surprising is that Fury just leaves him.
He does stop, and you know that's going through, it's got to be going through his mind. It's like, that's his friend. That moment, you just kind of know, like, he really wants to go get him back. But at the same time, he's like, I've got to survive and get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other question, is will we see Talos again, or is that it? I don't. That's another one. Like, that's tough. Like, I feel like the next episode's got to pick up, like, right where that fight's ending, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe the next two episodes will be like boom, 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 boom. Things just happening right after the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I'm betting next episode, the start of it, we're probably going to have Rhodes and Gravix kind of have a conversation about what's going to happen. Kind of set that up. But man. Hopefully there'll be longer episodes, because it just feels like there's so much going on. Like, we gotta know where this is leading.
Yeah, and whenever they announce the show, they're like, oh yeah, we've got hour-long episodes. They do not. Most of them have even been under 40 minutes.
Yeah, the first two were like 50-something minutes, but these last two were short.
Mm-hmm.
Shorter, at least.
At least one of the Loki episodes was really short as well.
Yeah. But for what this was, I still liked it. I think this really kind of sets up the tone, especially with Fury, of, like, where he's at and what all's been going on. And, you know, he's just had to make a lot of tough choices. And then these next two episodes are going to be wild, because I feel like, is he going to have to try to reach out to the government? But he probably knows that the government's not even there anymore. You think at this point he'd reach out to the Avengers, but I don't know. he may think they're all Skrulls at this point.
I mean, they might be. We haven't seen most of them in a while.
Right.
They might just be hanging out on a beach somewhere. We do not know.
No. No, there was a brief mention, and we'll wrap this episode up soon. There was like a brief mention of like going to court. So I'm wondering if that could pull in, you know, She-Hulk or Daredevil. I don't know if we'll actually get a courtroom episode in this, but, you know, Rhodes is basically like, you're going to court to defend yourself against shooting this, you know, shooting the other agent. So I don't know. Don't know.
Nobody does. We're all lost.
We're all lost. We need to know. We need to know. Any other thoughts before we wrap this up?
Let me see. Did I write down something weird? I probably did. The only thing that I wrote down that I think we haven't been over is I just want to say everybody else kind of hates them. I like the creepy AI credits.
Oh.
I don't like that they're AI. I still don't like replacing creative efforts with AI, but they're pretty effective.
I mean,
because they're kind of like that uncanny valley thing and they're very off-putting, but that works for this show about people's identities being assumed.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the first episode I watched through the whole thing, and even before then, the people who got to see the first two episodes early, like, kind of spoiled that it's all through AI, and that was publicly announced. So yeah, it's AI is such an interesting topic right now. But yeah, no, it's for what it is, it's cool. But yeah, at the same time, you look at the side of like all the artists that didn't get I'm curious to see if there's other intros that artists actually worked on. I mean, if anything, it'd be good to give nods to that, right?
Yeah, I would hope that the artists whose work went into this would be credited.
Yeah.
And paid. That part is important.
Right.
But yeah, that is it.
Cool. I just need to come up with a question real quick. Did you have one or?
Oh, a question for us to
answer
for next week. Okay. Yeah. A question for our listeners.
I guess for us too.
If you were the president, which of the Avengers would you want guarding you?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because now we know it shouldn't be Fury.
Right. Now I want to go back and revisit. Is this the first time we've gotten to visually see a president in the Marvel world?
No, but I can't remember who else might have been a president.
Yeah.
To look at that.
I need to look that up.
I do remember there was a time several years ago where the president in Marvel Comics was Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, I think. Oh, goodness. No, that's a solid question. Oh, yeah. Now this is going to bug me because
we got to look it up.
Yeah.
Really quickly, I wanted to remind you all, please check out our social media. We're going to start posting more and more there. I know we said that a while ago and we haven't been posting a whole lot, but that's mostly on me. I've been moving, so there's a lot going on and my brain barely works, but we're getting back to it, and we'll be posting a lot more on there, including our answers to the questions. So I'll give you a sneak peek. I'll give you my answer to last week's question, which was, what's our favorite spy or espionage piece of content? For me, nostalgically, it has to be James Bond. I watched James Bond movies probably before I was old enough to watch James Bond movies. I love all the movies. I love the lore, and even have read quite a few of the books now. But another part is the games. I mean, GoldenEye was, you know, a defining game in my young gaming experience. And on top of that, I don't remember the other game, Nightfall or something, on the GameCube. Man, oh man, the hours that I poured into playing like full multiplayer lobbies with bots, because, you know, this is before online gaming was a thing. Oh, I loved it. It was so much fun. So James Bond probably has to be my answer. I think currently, if I'm picking, I would say maybe the Kingsman series. I really like the kind of, like, I mean, again, I guess they're kind of James Bondy in that sense. So I like that, and I like being able to see this, like, I don't know, like Hogwarts, Charles Xavier school for spies. So I hope that, you know, we get to see more and more stuff like that as this movie series continues. I think they're doing another Kingsman in a couple years or something. But I really enjoy those movies. So if you haven't seen them, go check them out. If you've never seen James Bond, what are you doing? There's like 100 of them. There's not that many. I think there's like 30. But go check out any of them. You know, obviously the character changes throughout the movies, so you have to kind of, maybe you'll find one Bond that you like more than another Bond, but all in all, the movies are all really great. So go check those out. Classic spy movies. And look for Luke and Elisa's answers when you check out our social media. Thanks.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back next week talking more Secret Invasion as we are getting close to the finale. But yeah, thanks so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on social, and we'll be back soon.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.